Hello, hello, my darlings. It's Kelly, and this is episode 115 of the Sun Rose Yoga Podcast. I am so glad you're here. I had a ball teaching this class. I was feeling really inspired by this book that my daughter and I checked out for her at the library called Pierre in Love. And I talk a lot about the book at the beginning, but it is spectacular, and no matter what age you are, I highly recommend it. And I'm so glad you're here to share in this space. It was a really special class. I'm off. I'm traveling to Indonesia, Thailand, but I'm still here with you and so happy to be. Thanks, everybody, for sharing in this practice. Take good care. Love. So we talk a lot in this gathering, in these gatherings in the morning, about following sensation and, you know, using the body and our senses to experience sensation without, you know, maybe getting too attached to it or following the stories that can sometimes accompany sensation. And I read this really wonderful book to my daughter last night. It's called Pierre in Love. And it's about a rat who's a fisherman who falls in love with this bunny who's a ballerina and a painter. And it's all about how, like, every day Pierre, as he takes his boat out to sea, he passes by this bunny's dance studio, and he just thinks about, like, how much he loves her and how graceful and elegant she is. And every day while he's out there, he gathers something from the sea for her, like a perfect shell. And, you know, like, he goes to this island and swims ashore and picks these thorny but beautiful roses. And he's so in love with her. And he's also, like, totally miserable because he's so worried about, like, oh, what if she finds out? Or what if she rejects me? Or, you know, what if? And so in the nights, he leaves these secret little gifts for her after he's gone through the process of sort of, like, erasing his fisherman look. He, like, gets super clean and polishes himself up and grooms his mustache, which my daughter gets a huge kick out of. And he puts on this fancy silk shirt. And she is, meanwhile, like, oh my goodness, this is, like, I wish I knew who was leaving these things for me. So she hides and waits and sees him in this fancy shirt. And she's like, oh, this is really sweet of you. And you know, he, like, pours his heart out to her, of course, like, I love you. I love you to the moon and back. Not those words. Those are mixed books. But something like that. And she, meanwhile, is like, well, this is terrible. I'm in love with someone else. So, fear not. So in that moment, he says, I don't care. There's freedom in that. I just want, now I can just love you without worrying. Now I can just, you know, hope for all good things for you without thinking about myself and how I fit into this equation at all. And there's a twist, of course. Mm-hmm. Couldn't leave it like that. And so she, I mentioned to you, not only is she a ballerina, but she's also a painter. And so meanwhile, while this is going on, she's painting every day for her beloved. Every day making a painting, every day making a painting. And so finally, she decides, she's been inspired by this act of, you know, gravitas or whatever, and she decides to give her beloved these paintings. And so she when the rat is bringing him his boat back the next day, he's surprised at the dock to see all these paintings. And then she's surprised to see him up close because she had never come so close. And she has this realization that her beloved is actually the rat. And, which makes for a sweet ending. But it's that the for me, like the arc of the book, the moment was like, ah, oh, I don't have to worry anymore. I'm free. I'm free to just love. So we can do this. Like, so that I'm like, this is a book about Tantra without knowing that it's a book about Tantra, this children's book, Pure and Love, because we're following that sensation. We're staying in the love without following it to a particular like destination or getting ourselves wrapped up in it. It's that moment of like being where you are, being in this moment, being with the sensation of love, wherever it takes you. So, today, maybe always, maybe whenever we remember to, notice the feeling. Notice the feeling of your body engaging with the shapes. Notice the sensation of like your hands touching the earth without worrying about, you know, did I complete the shape? Did I, you know, make a pitch-perfect pose. Linger in the feeling. So with that, let's come to a tall seat and we'll sing an om together to begin. So you can make your way to what you might think of as a breathing seat, somewhere where you can breathe freely and easily. And it can be cross-legged or on the heels or some other configuration that just makes sense. And start to be curious about your breath. Notice what you feel. And you might let your hands come to your heart, or one hand come to the heart and one to the belly. You might let your hands rest on your thighs, just somewhere where the aliveness of the hands becomes apparent. And following a full cycle of breath, an in-breath, an out-breath, and an in-breath, we'll make this sound of om, not worrying about the pitch, not worrying about the volume, just making and receiving sound. So we'll take a deep breath in and let it all go. And we'll take a deep breath in. And in your own time, release the hands. And as we move, let's be guided by this spirit of exploring sensation and being with it. The attitude of Pierre in love. We'll take our time to come to all fours, hands and knees, table pose. And you might take all of your blocks with you to the top of the mat. And as you're organizing your body, can you be there completely with it, noticing the contact that the hands are making with the floor, noticing the contact that the tops of the feet are making with the floor, noticing how your body is situated in space, you know, maybe moving a little, moving a lot. And you might spread the fingertips wide and even sort of claw the pads of your fingers into the floor so you make full contact. And as you take a breath in, you might sort of, again, claw the fingers into the floor as you breathe into the fullness of the back of the body, maybe letting your tailbone drop a little bit. And as you breathe out, we'll start to move the hips toward the heels and the forehead toward the floor. This is Bhaktasana devotional. And as you take a breath in, we'll use the full length of that breath to pull the body back toward all fours, table, Chakravakasana. And as you breathe out, this time we'll tuck the toes under and we'll move the hips toward the heels before we lift the knees away from the floor and slowly move the legs closer to straight, Adho Mukha Svanasana, downward facing dog. And as you breathe in, again, we'll lower the knees to the earth. And as you breathe out, we'll move the hips toward the heels and the forehead toward the floor, Bhaktasana. And we'll move this way at the pace of the breath for just a handful of breaths. Just moving like you. Letting one thing sort of naturally lead to the other. Letting your body sort of unfold around the shapes. Letting the shapes unfold around your body. And even if they begin, you know, seemingly miles apart, your breath and your body will find each other. And if you begin with a quick breath and a slow body, or a slow breath and a quick body, they'll find each other. And so in time, maybe with your next time to Bhaktasana devotional, with the hips on the heels and the forehead on the floor, we'll linger there for a few breaths. We'll let things just become heavy. Let your forehead and the back of the skull become heavy. Let the tailbone become heavy. Let the tops of the shoulders become heavy. And what if here you just sort of like inchworm or centimeter worm your left hand forward, just walking the fingers forward just a teeniest, tiniest bit, at the same time letting your left hip become slightly heavier, letting your left shoulder become slightly heavier. And you might feel like a little more intention in the way that your right hand is making contact with the earth. You might press that hand into the floor a little more firmly. So we have these subtle opposing movements happening as we sort of lengthen and expand the left side of the body, and we become more settled and fortified in the right side of the body. And maybe with a breath out, we'll come back to neutral, walking the left fingers back, you know, a finger length or whatever, softening to neutral. And in time, we'll walk the right hand forward, just the teeniest, tiniest bit, and sort of descend into the right hip a little bit more. Maybe become a little more fortified in the contact that the left hand is making with the floor. And just notice, like, how does it feel to breathe in this shape? And slowly with an exhalation, maybe coming back to neutral. And with a breath in, we'll pull ourselves again back toward table, back toward all fours. And we'll be here for a couple of breaths, and we'll sort of refine this shape. You might make your index fingers parallel to each other. Notice what that feels like. And you might shift your hips from the left to the right. You might let some arching and rounding happen in the back. We'll just be in this shape, getting to know it. And in time, as you breathe in, we'll find a neutral spine, a sort of flat table back, breathing into the length of the body. And as you breathe out, again, we'll lengthen the left side of the body. So you might sort of inch your left armpit forward as you press your left hip back. And as you do that, can you fortify the connection between the right hand and the floor? So that we're not just collapsing there. And as you breathe in, come back to neutral, come back to the center. And as you breathe out, we'll lengthen the right side of the body, shifting the right hip back, shifting the right armpit forward, fortifying the left side of the body, pressing the left hand into the floor. And as you breathe in, come back to neutral. And as you breathe out, we'll tuck the toes under, moving the hips toward the heels, maybe pressing into your heels before lifting the knees away from the floor, unraveling or unfurling into downward facing dog. Notice how the center of gravity shifts back, sort of in the direction of your sacrum. So you might start to soften the shoulders away from the ears. You might spread your fingertips wide and really make contact between the fleshy part of the hand, between the thumb and the index finger, and the floor. Press that down. Yeah. Now, just to continue with this whole sort of lateral lengthening, as you breathe in, you might sweep your left leg toward the sky. And to start, we'll keep the belly and the point of the hip facing the earth, and just feel some length happening from your fingers all the way out through your heel. You might sort of shine out through your heel. Nice. Now, what would happen if we found a little length in that left side of the body? What if you press the heel of your left hand into the floor as you press your left heel on your foot away from your body and sort of open through the left hip just a little bit? Let your left point of the hip start to look to the left, the teeniest, tiniest bit.
And then soften through the shoulders as you reconnect or recommit the right hand to pressing into the floor. Now maybe you bend your left knee here. Keep the foot engaged, maybe flexing or flointing. That's a combination of flex and point that looks like a Barbie foot, if that makes any sense. And as you breathe in, we'll again sort of extend that left leg straight up, straightening the leg. And as you breathe out, we'll step the left foot all the way forward between the hands to a nice lunge. And this can be a high lunge where your right knee is lifted off the floor, or a low lunge. Help that foot forward if it wants help. And you might even elevate your hands onto your blocks here. Let's just be sort of comfortable with the length of the body as it's already happening. In general, the idea to keep some stability happening here is to stack the left knee right over top of the ankle. Remember, the right knee can be lowered to the earth. Let's just sort of pulse with our breath for a few rounds of breath. So as you breathe in, rise up into the hips. Maybe straightening your front leg a little bit, maybe letting the head become heavy and the spine round. And as you breathe out, sort of lengthen back into the elegance of your lunge. Now, if your back knee is on the floor, you'll do this by shifting the hips back, straightening the left leg, letting the head become heavy and the spine round. And we'll move in this way, this just little pulse at the pace of your own breath for a handful of breaths. And can you do it like our protagonist, our rat, our Pierre, without worry about whether you're doing it right? And just let yourself feel. Just let yourself make shapes and experience them and be in that space fully. And maybe the next time that you're exhaling into the length of the lunge, we'll pause here. Remember, you can always lower your right knee to the floor if it wants to lower to the floor. So in this shape, let's find the length of the right side of the body. You might let your right shoulder and armpit move forward as your right heel moves back. Notice what happens to your hip. What would happen if you shifted the tiniest bit toward the right or the tiniest bit toward the left? Just noticing. And can we fortify the left side by pressing the left hand into the block so we're stable there? And with the breath in, coming back to the center. And as you breathe out, taking your time to make your way back to downward facing dog, Adho Mukha Svanasana. Or something like it, maybe puppy, where the knees and the elbows are on the floor, but we're still lengthening into our fullness. Softening the shoulders away from the ears, letting the shoulder blades settle down the back. Yeah. And in time with the breath in, you might sweep your right leg toward the sky. And just sort of feel the contact that your hands are making with the floor and your foot is making with the sky. And your left foot is making with the floor. And then sweetly, subtly, we'll start to lengthen the right side of the body. You might feel your armpit lengthening or shining. Your foot moves back, so the space from your armpit to your hip is sort of getting longer. And you might let that hip, the right hip, start to peek to the right. Maybe your knee bends a little or a lot. Keeping that foot engaged. And can you stay with the left side of the body? Can you ground in the hand and stay solid, fortified, not collapsing? Yeah. We'll take in a full breath here as we sort of come back to center, belly facing down, hip facing down, and as you breathe out, step that right foot all the way forward to a lunge. Maybe elevating the hands on the blocks as you find your lunge. The left knee may be on the floor, toes tucked or untucked, depending on your body, depending on the morning. And at the pace of your breath, we'll just sort of pulse here, breathing in, rising up, breathing into the back of the body. And as you breathe out, unfurling into your elegant length as it's already happening. And rather than worrying, like just paying attention, just being thoughtful about the placement of your body and how it feels. Like we're just trying things out. And so the next time that you're exhaling into your lunge, into your high lunge or your low lunge, we'll pause there. And you might start to notice the length of your body that's already happening. From the center of your left heel to the center of your right knee. And can we find just a little more length from the center of the heel to the left armpit? See if you can maybe just find that as the armpit looks forward a bit. And you might shift from the left to the right within that. And as you breathe in, we'll come back to center. We'll gaze forward. And as you breathe out, we'll step the left foot forward to meet the right. Uttanasana, standing forward fold. Let the crown of your head be heavy. And let the back of the skull be soft. Your gaze might be at your kneecaps. And you might hold opposite elbows with your hands. Or you might hold your blocks. And let some experiments happen here. You might shift your weight forward into the balls of the feet and back into the heels, or you might shift your weight from left to right. Noticing where things feel good. Noticing where things feel, interesting. And just noticing them. Just being with them fully. And as you breathe in, we'll press the feet into the floor, maybe bending the knees a little or a lot as we start to roll the spine all the way up towards standing, sweeping the arms, hands, and fingers toward the sky. And as you exhale, bringing everything back to your heart, your hands, your awareness, your breath. connect the effort of standing. And let's take one of our blocks and place it between the thighs.
Come to the top of the mat. Engaging without over-engaging. Letting the knees be soft enough so that they don't feel locked. Letting the belly start to engage by moving toward the back of the body, inviting the heart to bloom. And as you breathe in, we'll sweep the arms, hands, and fingers toward the sky. And as you breathe out, we'll dive forward, Uttanasana, standing forward fold. And at the pace of your own breath, for maybe three breaths, as you breathe in, we'll come up halfway, lengthening from the tailbone all the way to the crown of the head, and exhale, fold forward. So we'll just sort of move between Ardha Uttanasana and Uttanasana. And so the next time that you're inhaling and coming up halfway, we'll pause there. And you might invite your tailbone to become slightly heavier, which probably will not be visible from the outside. And as you do that, invite your heart to bloom, which might be visible from the outside. So between those two points, can you invite your belly button to move a little bit closer to your spine? And it's fine to like reach back and feel what this feels like from the outside. Don't be shy ever about doing that. And so from there, with the breath out, we'll start to bend the knees the teeniest, tiniest bit, like holding that soft tailbone, belly toward the spine, heart bloom. And feel free to leave your hands on your body. Otherwise, maybe let your arms drop down and turn the palms to face forward and breathing in, moving them, you know, somewhere between 45 and 90 degrees, somewhere where they're like reaching up, but not straight. And soften in the shoulders, soften in the face. Soften into the seat of the heart. And as you breathe out, fold forward.
We'll release the block from between the legs. And for stability, you might place one hand on a block, or each hand on a block. And as you breathe in, we'll step the right foot back. And we'll start by coming to this high lunge. And you might leave your left hand and your right hand on the blocks as you lower your right heel toward the floor. Good. So we have stability happening here. Press the feet into the floor, keeping the left knee bent, and we'll rise all the way up to Warrior Two, Virabhadrasana Two. Arms are extended out in T. Notice how the feet make contact with the floor. Let the tailbone be heavy and let the belly start to find the back of the body as the heart blooms. Taking a peek down, maybe so that you can see your left big toe to the inside edge of the knee. And as you breathe out, leaving the legs the way they are, we'll let the arms just sort of drop forward. And we'll reach the left hand down, and we'll reach the right hand up.
And as you breathe out, we'll start to angle the torso in the general direction of the front of the mat, reaching the right hand overhead, reaching the left hand back in the general direction of your right foot. And that arm is engaged. It's alive. It's reaching. Yeah. So we can be with the two sides of the body here as we lengthen, as we electrify the right side of the body. But we don't sort of soften or sag into the left side. We're engaged there. So maybe spread the fingers. Yeah. And so from here, as you breathe in, we'll cartwheel the hands down toward your blocks. We'll come onto the ball of the right foot and we'll square the hips toward the front of your mat. We'll lower the right knee down to the earth. If you're feeling like you need padding, pad the knee. Now, you might like to bring that third block in for this next little bit, this lizard, but it's up to you. As you breathe in, we'll find a sense of length, and as you breathe out, we'll start to lower the heart toward the floor. Now, depending on you, you might come in and out, and depending on you, you might start to angle your torso away from the inner left knee. Settling in, like when it feels right. Letting your heart soften toward the earth. Feeling the length of your body from the tailbone all the way beyond the crown of the head. And as you exhale, just softening somewhere, maybe everywhere. Yeah. And can you be here? Fully and completely. Like a rat in love with a bunny. Like, be there completely. And slowly we'll start to mosey, if you've moseyed away from your inner left knee, we'll mosey back toward there, maybe bringing the blocks with you. We'll place the hands on the floor, and with a breath out, we'll slowly sort of saunter toward table or baktasana or to downward facing dog. Move like you. And in time, we'll meet either in down dog or table, and we'll use a breath in to step the right foot forward this time. And you might, again, use your blocks for stability here while you lower your left heel toward the floor. Keeping the right knee bent, we'll bring the torso toward upright, extending the arms out to T, Virabhadrasana 2. Maybe taking a peek down to make sure that you can see your right big toe to the inside of your knee, letting the tailbone be heavy, the heart be light, and the belly move to the back of the body. Yeah, spines are protected. And a little bit of ease circulating around all of this structure. And from here, we'll start to make our way toward this weird and wild version of Uttita Parsvakonasana. So we'll let the arms sort of drop. Feel that. And we'll reach the left hand up toward the sky and the right hand down toward the earth. Belly moving toward the back of the body so that we don't sort of sag into the lumbar curve.
And as you breathe out, we'll start to angle the torso toward the front of the mat, reaching the left hand overhead, reaching the right hand back toward the left foot. Lengthening the left side of the body, engaging the right side of the body. Yeah. And within all of that softness, an easy face, a mushable face. Softness in the shoulders. And with a breath in, we'll cartwheel the hands down toward the earth, or toward the blocks. We'll come to the ball of the left foot, and we'll bring the upper body to the inner edge of the right knee, and we'll lower the left knee to the earth. Again, if it feels like padding would be good, then pad. And your hands might be stacked up on blocks, one, two, or three, or not, and you might angle yourself a little bit away from the inner knee, or not, breathing in to the length of the body, breathing out, softening the heart toward the earth, spilling the heart toward the earth. And that might happen a couple of times. You know, you might breathe in and lengthen, breathe out and soften. Breathe in and lengthen, breathe out and soften. And the lengthening and the softening, like, no one needs to see anything from the outside. Like, so much yoga is happening when it looks like nothing is happening. Like, when it looks like we're just taking out the garbage. Or we're just, you know, doing what needs to be, paying the bills. Like, that is where the real yoga is happening. Like, being present to that. Can we be like a rat in love when we're writing checks? Slowly, with a breath in, we'll start to bring the torso toward upright and back towards center. And then slowly we'll meander our way to table or to down dog or to puppy or to devotional, just being wherever you are. And in time, like in your own time and in your own way, we'll make our way down onto the floor on our bellies. So for some of you, it will make sense to go to plank, top of a push-up and lower down, or to go to half plank and lower down. For some of you, you might lower the hips toward the heels and then slither forward onto your belly. And in time, we'll start to set up for sort of like, I am hesitant to call this like a zombie cobra, but that is what it feels like to me. So we'll widen the hands, so they'll be wider than your shoulders. I don't know if it's zombie is correct, but, and we'll come up to the tips of the fingers, resting the forehead on the floor to start. Press the tops of the feet into the floor, so much so that maybe your shins and your kneecaps lift. Press the pelvis into the floor and notice how your booty engages. You might draw your belly toward the back of the body and invite the heart to bloom. So your shoulders might start to soften away from the ears. And with a breath in, with the lightest touch of the fingers on the floor, let's peel the forehead from the floor, keeping the gaze down.
Pressing the tops of the feet into the floor, you might peel a little bit of your heart away from the floor, keeping the gaze down. Sort of zombie-ish, right? Sort of. Rawr. Maybe that just gave me an idea. Maybe while we're here, we'll do 3 breaths of the Lion Mudra, which is an exhalation with out of your mouth with your tongue out, sort of like a roar, like. Next breath out, let's lower all the way down and we'll come to no muscle. So you might bend your elbows or you might rest your head on the back of your hands. You might turn your toes out away from each other and let the instep make contact with the floor. And notice the sensation. And so in time, with ease, we'll roll onto the back. So you might sort of come up a little bit, slide one arm under the other, and roll onto your back. Starting with knees bent and the soles of the feet on the floor. And we'll call this a shape of constructive rest. And we'll organize so that as nearly as you can tell, your heels are about as far apart as your sitting bones are. So they might be closer than you might imagine. And the knees are stacking right over top of the ankles. So everything is in line. And as you take a breath in, we'll press the feet into the floor and we'll press the small of the back into the floor. So the lumbar curve. And as you breathe out, come back to neutral. And we'll do that a couple of times, pressing the feet and the small of the back into the floor as you breathe in. And as you breathe out, coming back to neutral. And so that's the general idea, but you might start to notice what else is happening in your body, like how your sitting bones are curling under as you breathe in. Your tailbone might be pointing in the direction of your knees. You might notice how you're rolling on your sacrum from bottom to top and from top to bottom. You might notice just what it feels like to have your back supported by the earth. And so maybe the next time that you're breathing in and pressing your low back into the floor, we'll pause there. And just notice like everything that's engaging, how your quads are engaging, how your core is engaging. Notice what else in your particular body is engaging to make this shape happen. And as you breathe out, relax the effort. You might feel like you're just setting your sacrum down on the floor. And with a breath in, let's draw the knees in toward the chest. And as you breathe out, extend your legs toward the sky. And you might engage the feet to some degree so that, you know, things are working. You can feel your quads engaging, you can feel your calves engaging, but then at the same time you're letting things sort of settle into the floor. Now, if this is starting to be, you know, like too much sensation for this moment in the core or anywhere else, you might consider bending the knees a little or a lot. And you might also consider extending your arms in the same way, reaching the fingers toward the sky. So arms are parallel to the legs and arms are parallel to each other. And with engagement in your hands, so like spreading the fingertips wide, then let the shoulders settle into the floor. So everything is settled, even in its wakefulness. Holding on loosely enough so that you can feel just how much your body moves as you breathe. And with your next breath out, we'll hug the knees in toward the chest. And you might wrap your arms around the fronts of your legs and rock from side to side. And we'll sort of transfer that hug so that it's just around your left leg. And with a breath out, we'll extend the right leg toward the sky, engaging. And with a breath out, we'll start to lower the right leg all the way down toward the floor. You might press your right heel into the floor and feel the length of the right side of the body from the tops of your toenails across the crease of the hip all the way beyond the forehead. And as you breathe in, you might, you know, just sort of re-hug the left leg, letting the left hip become heavy in its pocket. And as you breathe out, start to lift your nose toward your left knee. And as you breathe in, release your head back down to the earth. And as you breathe out, relax your grasp on your left leg. You might even extend that leg all the way down onto the floor, noticing both sides of your body. Noticing the right and the left, the front and the back, the top and the bottom. And in time, maybe with a breath in, you'll draw the knees in toward the chest. You might sort of like hug your right knee exclusively. Maybe wobble from side to side. And in time, we'll let an exhalation extend the left leg up toward the sky, engaging. And with an exhalation, lowering the left leg all the way down to the floor, pressing the heel into the floor. feeling the length of the left side of your body. And like just noticing what occurs to you, what parts of your body are, you know, revealing themselves. And as you breathe in, you might just sort of like tenderly but intentionally hug your right knee. And as you breathe out, start to lift the nose toward the knee. And as you breathe in, release your head back to the earth. And as you breathe out, relax your hug on the right leg. And you might extend all the way out onto the floor. And just notice, just sort of like hang out in the feedback from that shape. Stay with the sensation. And you might begin to prepare for a pose of rest. So you might hug your knees into your chest, and again rock from side to side. Or if there are other movements or adjustments or shapes that your body would like you to make, then make those. Let your entire body be supported. It already is. Relax into that support that's already happening. And you might begin to notice the sensation of breath moving through your nostrils into your body and back out. And where does that lead? Noticing the sensation of breath in the nostrils. Does it lead you to the bottoms of your lungs? Or to the surface of your skin? Wherever that awareness of sensation leads you, follow it. Go to it with all of yourself, with all of your attention. And what does it feel like to go to something with all of your attention? And with all of your attention right there, you might begin to move your body a little bit. Maybe letting the angle or the width of your lens be wide enough so that you're experiencing all of it as one integrated movement of your body. Might make your body as long as possible. Or you might hug everything back into the middle. And in your own way, just like you, you might start to make your way back to a seat, a light-filled, love-filled seat. Let one hand, whichever feels most natural, just sort of rest in your lap. And you might let the other hand rest on top of it, and your thumbs might find each other. Allow the sensation of aliveness and attentiveness to that aliveness sort of collect in your hands, pool in your hands. And you might start to move that mudra, that shape or gesture of your hands to your heart. Maybe the thumbs are still joined, hand on hand at the heart. Notice how your heart responds to your hands. And notice how your hands respond to your heart. Thank you all for being here, for sharing in this space and practice. Thank you for sharing yourself. My wish for you is love, complete love without fear. Namaste. Thanks, everybody. Ask always if you have questions. Tell me always if you have answers or anything else to share.
Sunrose Yoga. Reveal and remember your sacred nature through the practice of yoga. The Sunrose Yoga Podcast is a collection of audio recordings, videos, and writings about the practices of yoga. The podcast's mission is to share the teachings of yoga in an accessible way and to foster meaningful discussion about the practices. To learn more or to experience past teachings, please visit sunroseyoga.com. The Sunrose Yoga Podcast is made possible by the generous donations of students and supporters. If you find this podcast useful or beneficial, please consider making a secure online donation by clicking the donate button at sunroseyoga.com. And thanks.